This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yes it is. 800-919-3776. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. We have got a lightning round, Carlin, for you. 800-919-3776. Up until 7:30. Islanders do or die game six coming then. I have to tell you, I feel like the Mets are really up the creek right now. And I feel like this could be it. This could be the turning point of the season in a not so great way. When I look at all of the injuries that have piled up now and how they have somehow navigated through all of this so well all season because of the great depth that they acquired this year. And by great depth, I mean major league players as opposed to players before that they haven't had on that level. Guys that once they got cut would be hoping to pick up a job somewhere or might get a shot in the minor leagues or somewhere that would give them another chance to play. Yet these are the guys the Mets used to be counting on. That wasn't the case this year. But now the injuries keep piling up, piling up, piling up. And you have to wonder, when is enough going to be enough here? And so you are watching Marcus Stroman walk off the mound last night. And you get good news today that there doesn't seem to be any issues popping up on his MRI. Okay, that's great to hear. But does it mean that you still don't need tremendous depth at the position that you do not have right now in the rotation? Yeah, you need it. You need it in the worst way right now because no Syndergaard is not walking through that door. And when you watch the roster moves that the Mets are making today, that they are just trying to field a team, let alone find their way into continuing to win at the level that they have so far this year, it's hard for me to believe that they're going to be able to do that. And I don't want to be Mr. Negative about this. I really don't. But you're sitting here at six games over 500. You've got a five-game lead in the loss column, and that's great. That's fantastic. In a division that has not turned out so far to be nearly as good as we expected it to. You know, the Braves have played poorly. There's no getting around that. The Washington Nationals haven't been great. They're starting to play much, much better, having won now 9 of their last 10 and 4 in a row. And you think that you're going to be okay, but at some point these teams that we knew to be good teams before the season started are going to turn it on. This is not a 60-game year like it was last season. This is a full boat, baby. And when you look at what the Mets are with their depth at the moment, depth, I mean, they have run through it. So what do you do? All right, you want to go out and make a trade. You want to go out and add somebody. That's great. Who? Who are you adding? Who right now isn't going to make you overpay for a starting pitcher when we are in the middle of June? That's going to happen. You're going to overpay for whatever you want because you're going to end up trying to get more out of him. So now we're turning to Tyler McGill tonight. Hey, Corey Oswalt is back. Color me excited. That was a name I hope we were not going to have to say again. No offense to him personally. But yeah, there's some offense in there because he's not very good. Why am I to believe that they're going to navigate their way through this? There doesn't appear to be any good reason for it. Stroman has pitched at an all-star level this season. He goes down last night. That's a killer. That's an absolute killer. DeGrom, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. You're not going to see Carrasco till God knows when. You're not going to see Syndergaard. The bullpen, they're starting to find their way to the injured list. Am I supposed to get excited that at some point we're going to get Dellin Betances back for the Mets? The answer's no. So where is the answer coming from? I can't find it. You got two pitchers pinch hitting last night. Where is the answer coming from? I please enlighten me, because I would like to know where it's coming from. I'm losing faith here in what's going on. It has been a feel-good season so far, but teams can only take so many shots to the solar plexus. Remember the Yankees in 2019 and how many hits they took? That was the anomaly. That wasn't the rule. That, when you see a team do something like that, you are blown away by their ability to find their way through it. That doesn't happen all the time. They were losing guys left and right and only had two players who were carrying them. I mean, I get that you've seen Lindor be better lately, but who's carrying the Mets right now? Got one hit last night. One hit! Who's carrying you? Pete's out of the lineup. Yes, three doubleheaders in 8, 9 days, whatever it is. There's a day off in there, too. We need you. I don't care what the numbers in the analytics say about days off. We need you. There are days that people have to play through it. I'm not blaming Pete. I'm blaming the Mets. So it is starting to feel like it's slipping, isn't it? It's starting to feel like it's slipping. Not saying the season's over. Not saying any of that. Of course not. But at some point here, you got to catch a break. And maybe Stroman not having any significant damage or significant issues with his hip, maybe that's catching a break. But with your rotation right now, two fixtures, two massive, well, one who is everything in DeGrom, and Stroman, who's been amazing. These two guys, when we talk about carrying you, the rotation has carried the Mets this season. And you're starting to not feel great about that continuing to be the case. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Carlin, with you, my friends, we have an hour. We have time for your calls. We want to get as many of them in as we can. Is this starting to feel like it's slipping away from the Mets right now? When you realize that maybe the deal is not there to be made on the earlier side. Also, Rob Manfred spoke today about the first 2 days of enforcement. He thinks it's going great. I think somebody needs to point some things out to him about why it's not. We'll do that. I tell you what, it's been a long day. And yeah, I forgot to hit the mute button and take it off of mute. Well done, big head. Well done. There is at least some good news, and that's that Michael Conforto has been evacuated. See? It's been a long day. He's been activated tonight. And now you have Tyler McGill called up for his major league debut this evening. My big issue is, where is the depth coming from with the rotation right now? 800-919-3776. Clear my head. What is going on? Dino in the Bronx is going to start us off tonight. Dino, what do you got?
What's up, Colin? Real quick, before I get to the Mets take, I wanted to ask you, you know that drop that that Peter Rosenberg had where he says about the Brazilians in the EuroLeague?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if I heard it right, but Brazilians do play in the EuroLeague. So I don't know.
But it wasn't the EuroLeague. It was the Euros, as in the Euros that are being played this summer among European countries. That's why it's funny. And if I have to explain it, that's probably, anyway.
Yeah,
the point was Brazil's not in Europe, and they're playing the Euros this year, so there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Good talk.
I'm not worried about the Mets. I wouldn't be because their division is weaker and they can handle it. I'd more be worried about the Yankees because the Yankees aren't producing anything and they're in a tougher division, if you know what I'm saying. So, like, I feel like the Mets are okay for now.
Are you a Met fan?
That's all I guess. I'm a DeGrom fan. I'm a Red Sox fan.
You're a Red Sox fan, but you're a DeGrom fan. Okay. So you think the Yankees should be more worried and you're a Red Sox fan. That feels objective. Thanks, Dino, for checking in. Again, funny because they're playing the Euros right now, the European Championships, and Brazil not in Europe among the countries that are playing one another. You see, Brazil, South America, Brazilians do play in European soccer leagues. Okay, just to tie that up in a bow for you. Fran in Massapequa was next. Fran, how are you tonight? What's cooking? Where you been? What do you got?
What's up, my man? How you doing? Check, check, 1, 2.
What's going on?
You're the best. I love you, man. I love you. I try to call a little more often, but it's so busy all the time. I'm 56 years old. I'm a diehard Mets fan, so I've been kicked around, thrown in the garbage, thrown up and down, you know. The bottom line is this. This is the sixth season because this is a year where probably a healthy Mets team would probably be up by 10 to 15 games. The Braves are horrible. The Phillies are horrible. And the Marlins in Washington, we really pretty much don't have to worry about. And yet, we're beset with 1,000 injuries. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just another notch on the Met belt. You know what I mean? Something that the Met fans, you know, now they're on a little downfall. And if you know, they can wind up losing this league. It's just absolutely just crushing that they have all these injuries this year. And I just, you know, it's nauseating. I mean, you know, there's not much to say. It's just, it's so atypical being a Mets fan. Here's a year where we should be up by 10 or 15 games, running away with the division. And, you know, what do you think?
Fran,
I love you, bro. Have a great night.
Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. Fran, you described it pretty well, and it kind of reminded me of what we've seen a couple times in the NBA playoffs, where you see a team go out there, shoot 3 for 18 in the first half from three, overall shooting like 29%. They're getting out rebounded. Their best players on the bench because of foul trouble. And they're only down 4. That's what it feels like in the National League East right now, right? You know, the Mets are only up 4 with all of that stuff happening to their opponents. Their opponents have all been so bad this year, and they haven't taken enough advantage of it. Now, in being fair, yes, they have had more than their share of injuries. And that is something that other teams haven't had to contend with at this level. There are injuries all over the place. They happen everywhere, right? But not at this level. But the Mets haven't taken enough advantage of the fact of the rest of the division being bad. So it's like being up 4 at halftime while the other team has played horribly in every single way. But you haven't put yourself in a good enough position. You haven't given yourself enough cushion. Tom in Queens is next, 98.7 ESPN. Tom.
Hello?
Tom? Hello?
Alan.
Hello?
Alan.
Alan.
Yes.
What's up, Alan?
I don't think he's going to win the ERA title because I don't think he'll pitch enough innings.
Thanks for the call. And I'm going to assume that was Charlie Brown's teacher. I couldn't make it. Am I wrong, Brian Munguia? Am I wrong, Michael Olesh Magoon?
I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Did you catch a word in there?
No.
Nothing. Not a word.
I thought he was having a conversation with another person. I was like, what is going on over here?
Yeah, no, that was... it was Charlie Brown's teacher on the phone. Wait, we are all in sync tonight. Dino, me, Tom, I mean, Alan, we are rolling. We have got this thing locked up. Locked up the way things are going right now. It's absolutely brilliant. That's right. Matthew in Suffern. Matthew, what's going on, bud? Straighten us out.
Hey, what's going on, man? So you were talking about the pitching staff and that rotation, but you failed to mention Walker. You were mentioning Stroman and DeGrom and stuff like that.
Yeah, Taiwan Walker's healthy, and he's been great.
Yeah, he's been awesome. But I also think that the pitching, and especially the bullpen, and the starting pitchers, to be totally honest with you, have been carrying the Mets the first month when we had this Triple-A team. At one point, we literally had no names in the outfield for like 2 weeks. I think now getting Conforto back is going to give us a good push because now the bats got to carry us for at least a couple of weeks so we can get, I don't know, DeGrom fully healthy, back slated, Stroman getting like back to where he needs to be. And, you know, once that happens, right now, every team in that division, you'd be saying like, that every team in that division isn't playing their best baseball right now, but realistically, the Mets are not playing their best baseball either because they haven't had their starting lineup.
Yes, you're right. They haven't had enough of their starting lineup, but let's also take a couple other things into account. You have had Conforto for about half the time this year, and he wasn't very good. That's true. You have had that rotation mostly intact. With DeGrom, you know, missing a little bit of time and then coming out of some games here and there, but mostly it's been intact with him and Stroman. And look, Taiwan Walker's been phenomenal. There's no getting around that. The Mets have been carried by the fact that their rotation has pitched as well as it has this season. But even so, with what happened in losing Joey Lucchese, like that turned into something that was a big development.
I mean, honestly, I think that loss is not the end of the world, but...
Well, I don't think it's the end of the world, but it the depth factor certainly plays a role, does it not? I'm not going to say the Mets are not going to win because they don't have Joey Lucchese, but they're second in baseball with in ERA, and it's because of their starters.
Yes. I mean, the second pitcher in that doubleheader, I believe it was Monday. I forget what his name was. He was pulled up just...
Jared Eichhoff.
Yes, Jared Eichhoff, and he did not pitch bad, so I'm not saying that he doesn't have – I don't want to base that off of a seven-inning game in a doubleheader. Like, you can't really do that, but it's not like we're, like, losing Lucchese and we can replace him with Eichhoff. Like, if he can perform to the level that Lucchese was performing at, I'm fine with that. I think it's going to be fine with depth.
Listen, it would be great if he would, and thanks for the call, Matthew. Over the last four or five starts, Lucchese had been great. And I'm not under any illusion that the Mets season is falling apart because of Lucchese. It's more about the depth factor. And I can't say that about Jared Eichhoff pitching at that level of what Lucchese was doing when Zach Scott wouldn't even commit to him staying in the rotation. He said, yeah, you'll probably see him again for another start. But he didn't even really lock that in stone. So, you know, I'm now supposed to count on Jared Eichhoff when the GM probably realizes what we should realize. Whatever you get from Jared Eichhoff, you take it and you run. John, Long Island, next, 98.7 ESPN. John.
Hey, big man, you think it's the curse of the Jets?
It's the Ets curse.
The Ets curse. Can it be? You got to forgive Michael for his behavior earlier. He's really stressed out. He hasn't been able to get a drink. Every time he goes into the bar, they're like, why the long face? So he just doesn't go.
Oh, see, now that's not right. See, now that's not right. If anybody, and what I mean by that's not right, if anybody's going to make fun of him, it's going to be me.
All right. You're right. He does have a much longer head than you.
See, that's the thing. Here's what's, and appreciate the call, John. Here's what is deceptive that I never quite realized. As somebody with a rather bulbous cabeza, if you will, I have a size 8 head, and sometimes a size 8 fitted hat is let's call it form-fitting. Michael, I used to believe, I wanted to believe that he had a giant head like me. But he really doesn't. And I think, A, it was the puffiness of the hair, and B, it was the length of the head that maybe made it appear to be bigger than it actually was. I don't know. It's disappointing, though, that's for sure. I love the guy to death. And I do forgive him. It was not that big of a deal. We all bust each other's chops here. And they're just waiting for the big fellow to leave. Oh, let's open season. 800-919-3776. Ricardo in Manhattan. What's going on, Richard?
Chris, you know, when I was in school, my friends and I, we did make fun of guys with large heads. But you know what we used the initials LCC.
What's that?
Do you know what LCC stands for?
I don't.
Large condocranial. So whenever a guy had a big head, we said, oh, there's LCC, LCC. And that was a nickname, LCC.
Fellas, I'm going to need you to cut this piece off so I can give it to Michael tomorrow. Anyway, go ahead, Richard.
All right, Chris. Listen, if we have a final of Atlanta versus Phoenix, okay, mm-hmm. Atlanta versus Phoenix, in the history of the NBA, and I've been watching 57 years, I've been watching the finals since 64 when Havlicek stole the ball. I remember mm-hmm. that.
There's no need for you to qualify your qualifications.
Okay, Chris, there's never been two more unlikely teams ever. Now, as far as I remember, the most unlikely team was one of the two participants, and that was the Knicks in 99.
Yes, I would say that's accurate.
Just imagine, what team do you remember that was unlikely to be in the NBA Finals?
That's certainly the first one that comes to mind is an 8 seed, Richard. Thanks for the call.
And there was only one?
Yeah, and that's the first one that comes to mind. I'd really have to do a brain scan for that, and I can't think of any off the top of my head. But as we've established, doing a brain scan right now would turn up nothing. We are headed nowhere good with Major League Baseball and this sticky stuff mess. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. You saw everything that happened last night in Philadelphia, right? Joe Girardi is, you should be thrilled that he's not here. If I take one more call about fans screaming about Aaron Boone and why they made such a huge mistake when they let Joe Girardi go. I mean, look at what's going on down in Philadelphia, okay? He's openly feuding with some of his players. The team with Joe Girardi as their manager is 62-69 over the last year plus. They've got a big-time payroll, and yesterday you have him saying before the game, you know, I would never, for gamesmanship purposes, ever ask for the other pitcher to get checked. And then he went and asked Max Scherzer to get checked last night. Said that in the afternoon, said it at night, and then did it at night, and said he did it because he saw Scherzer going to his head more than ever before, swiping at his hair. As you can imagine, that didn't go over well. Max Scherzer staring at Girardi in the Phillies dugout. Girardi comes out of the Phillies dugout, starts waving at the other bench. This is all caused by this entire mess. And then Mike Rizzo this morning on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. goes on and has this to say about Joe Girardi.
That was his goal. He's a con artist. He got you in the con. So you believe it, and that's the way it is. He's been doing that for years.
He's a con artist. In other words, Girardi is going to do whatever he has to do to win games, but he's not winning games, and in the process, he is angering people. That aside from the problem with baseball, this is exacerbating that. The first 2 days, the commissioner, in a story interview, rather, that was published by Britt Giroli of The Athletic, his first response to how do you think the crackdown is going is, my view is the first 2 days have gone very well. Okay, you haven't caught anybody. Who's going to get caught? If you want to say that it's gone well because guys have stopped using it, that's fine. But it's not going well when you have players who were thoroughly annoyed by going through this to begin with, when a lot of the players themselves, the hitters, feel like pitchers should be able to use something to grip the baseball better, and you can't come up with something that's more down the middle than what you have, it's absolutely absurd. And you have incidents like what happened in Philadelphia last night. And he responds to Mike Rizzo's comments, is saying, I'm not going to respond to Mike Rizzo's comments. Or I'm not going to say that when Rizzo also said that what happened to Philadelphia isn't just embarrassing for the Phillies, but it's embarrassing for baseball. The commissioner responds with, I'm not going to respond to Mike Rizzo's comments, which I find to be intemperate. I'm not going to get into that. In other words, I feel like he just is being irrational and emotional, and I'm not going to respond. But I'm responding by saying that. That's silly. You know, I honestly don't think he can help it. But the commissioner really comes across as condescending sometimes to the players, as if he knows all. Incredibly bright man. Incredibly bright man. But the way that this is all playing out with everybody involved, with who the union has negotiating the deal coming up at the end of the year, with who Major League Baseball has on their side of the table, this could be an ugly, ugly work stoppage. And all of these little things are just making it worse and worse and worse by the day, the relationship between the two sides. Players are ticked off. Manfred came out today and said that it would be blatantly incorrect to assume that the players in the union did not provide input into what they're doing and will not have additional opportunities to provide input, that they did or did not have additional opportunities to provide input that they didn't take advantage of. In other words, they had a chance to say more, they just didn't. All I can tell you is there is nothing that goes on between these two sides these days. Going back to last year, in fighting over they did over every last dollar toward playing a 60-game season, into all of the little things that have come up in between, it gets worse and worse and worse, that relationship by the day. And that's a problem. And you're going to see the fallout from it coming very soon. And it's not going to be pretty. 800-919-3776. Carlin, let's hit Joe in Colonia next. 98.7 ESPN on the open lines. Joe.
Chris, thanks for taking my call. You mentioned something about exacerbating. Don't ever do that the night before work. It just wears you out. But what
See,
I wanted to do
that's unfortunate, Joe.
I'm sorry I brought that up. You know me. But anyway, MLB, for the past 2 or 3 years, have been trying to speed the game up. And now they pull this nonsense with checking the pitchers. So all you're doing is slowing the game up now. You have managers going out 2-3 times a game wanting to see if the pitcher's cheating. So, you know, it's one or the other. You want the game to go faster or you want to slow it up. There's no sense behind this.
Well, Joe, what it really is, absolutely. Thanks for checking in, brother, as always. What it really is the baseball. It's the baseball. It's how they manipulated it, whatever you want to say they did to it this past offseason, and how that has been affected, just completely handing all of the power to pitchers this season, as we have seen, and now trying to fix it by taking away something they've been doing for years. I am all about taking away the ability from pitchers who are cheating, from guys who are working toward their spin rate. And I keep going back to this. We had Jerry Blevins on about 2 weeks ago, and he sat here and said, there is a big difference between gripping the baseball and using it for spin rate. And the guys who are using stuff for spin rate are cheating. The guys who are using it to grip the baseball are not. And virtually everybody in the game uses it to grip the baseball because the balls are entirely too slick. That's all there is to it. It seems pretty simple, which is what is really maddening about it. Open lines, 800-919-3776. As many calls as we can get in before an extended Islander pregame at the bottom of the hour. It is Don LaGreca. It is game six, trying to stay alive at the barn. It is all ahead of us, but it's up to you to make it happen. Right now, it is time for the truly hard play of the game. It is brought to you by our very good friends at Truly Hard Seltzer. And that play of the game is Tyler McGill getting his first major league out just moments ago for the Mets as he is pitching against the Bravos tonight, making his major league debut. So congratulations to him. That's your Truly Hard play of the game, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776. Let us return to the phones, get as many as we can get in before the bottom of the hour when Don has got some Islanders pregame. Donnie is in New Jersey. He is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Donnie, what's going on?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. Are we all in agreement that Rob Manfred's the worst commissioner in American sports?
I think there's a reason. I'm not going to say that. I don't think he's the worst commissioner in American sports. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but there's a reason why baseball is behind the NBA and the NFL in popularity, and I think it starts with marketing your superstars. Like, Trout could walk into a bar, and nobody would know who he is. And
I'm sure the problem with that, Donnie, is you have to have a willing participant. And trust me, I'm not defending Rob Manfred in this. Mike Trout doesn't want to be that guy. He doesn't want to be the marketed star. And he's made that pretty clear.
Would you say half the battle is getting out of your own way? Like, if you want people to come to the ballparks or in front of the television screen, having the pitcher bat is not going to do that. And we had the DH last year. Like, why are we making this so complicated?
Yeah, and you know, that has more to do with the labor relations issues. You're right about this, okay? You need more offense. That's why people care. That's why they want to watch. And it's not a knock on the pitchers. They want to see great pitchers, too. They love watching Jacob DeGrom and what he's doing right now. But you're right. I'm with you. The full-time DH in both leagues has to be something that's here to stay. You have to find ways to keep people's interest. And the length of these games has gotten such that you just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, and the optics don't look great. I mean, he essentially has his employees talking bad about him. And that leaked phone call with Brody last season about, you know, the Mets boycotting because of the social injustices and him trying to find a way for them to squeeze in the game was not a good look either. Like, he's just not having great optics on all ends of this right now.
No, I think he's had a lot of bad optics along the way. And thanks for the call. I think both sides have, to say the truth. I mean, and going back to not just the social injustice, but even getting into playing last season. You know, neither side's budging on anything. It's always built in compromise. And nobody wants to compromise. Everybody wants it fully their way, or we're going home. And that's just absolutely stupid for both sides. You need each other. Let's be clear about that. You need each other. So don't put yourself in that position. Both sides. I really regret what's going to happen because this is going to be bad. When this CBA is up, this is going to be bad. And these two sides are going to be digging their feet in. And they're not digging their heels in, and they're not going to be budging one bit. And it's not going to be good for a game that struggles with the fans to begin with. You know, one little thing I need to point out. It's not like in every ballpark this year, now that we're at 100% capacity, that they've been full. They haven't. You know, first night of 100% capacity Yankee Stadium, there was like 28,000 or something like that, 24,000. Why? What am I missing there? Citi Field, same thing. A lot of fans have not jumped back in yet, and I don't think it's out of COVID concerns. I really don't. You know, so I haven't had him on the show, but I think I've told you about my brother. My brother is a doctor whose company handled all of the testing last year for the WNBA in their bubble. So he's been knee-deep in COVID for a year and a half and has really been, you know, digging into all of the information that you can get. And he has been very, you know, and not that he's, you know, the foremost authority on everything, but the thing that most doctors seem to agree upon is that it's infinitely harder to spread it outside than it is inside. So I really do wonder why people who have gotten that as a singular message, why are they not going back to the ballparks? Like, we've all sat here and said, boy, I can't wait to get back into the stadiums and such. They're, you know, in some places they're full, but, you know, here, it's not like either team's been bad. They're not going to the games right now. Why is that? 800-919-3776. Spike in St. Pete. What's going on, Spike? How are you?
I'm great. I'm talking to you. It always makes me feel really good talking to you. I wanted you to know that. So here's two issues. One, I'll get to basketball in a quick second. It's embarrassing what happened last night in baseball. Embarrassing, totally. Mm-hmm. I've been watching baseball for 88 years. Girardi, Romo. I mean, come on. They're insulting their fan base. Just do it or don't do it. Don't put it on a show. We don't. I could buy a ticket to the circus. I'll leave it at that. On the basketball, I want to run this by you, and I'll hear you on the stream for your answer because I respect your opinion so much. Am I not watching this correctly? Because I've harped every time I call you or whoever else I call on missed free throws affecting games. Is it just an anomaly or what? Because, again, Paul George last night. I mean, I've never seen missed free throws affect so many games.
Well, I think for Paul George, it's an anomaly, Spike. I mean, Paul George, Stephen A. went back and had the stat today that there was one game this year where he missed both ends of two shots once. I mean, Paul George is an excellent free throw shooter.
He's a high percentage guy. Yeah. And we know about, you know, the Embiids and the Ben Simmons. Like, I don't want to talk about him anymore. Such a basketball purist makes me sick. But it just seems it is an anomaly with Paul George. And listen, the two best players are out on both teams. That last play, you know, you could talk all day about giving them an extra timeout. Monty Williams called a great play. And if you didn't know that rule, you would think it was goaltending. But that rule was applicable in those circumstances. You got to know everything. So enjoy the games. They're always a pleasure.
Appreciate it, Spike. Thanks. Looking forward to it tonight. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch free throws be a difference in a game like that. It's frustrating to watch a player afraid to dunk a basketball because he doesn't want to go to the line. It's frustrating to watch teams that are so much better with their talent lose because of fundamentals, lose because of things that they shouldn't lose because of. You know, it's one thing. Look, that happens last night. I didn't really chalk it up to much more than that for Paul George. It's just one of those things that you just look at it and not much you can do about it. It happens. But I do think that across the sport, you have gotten worse at a lot of the fundamentals with players that shouldn't. It's one thing when you have bigs who are getting worse at shooting free throws. They have giant hands. There's a balance. It's a whole thing. We know about Shaq. There's no reason that Ben Simmons, even at 6'11", with as much as he handles the basketball, should be a poor free throw shooter. You know, with the Bucks tonight, in this series, I am really fascinated to see if Giannis is going to be able to just completely dominate, because there's really no reason he shouldn't. There really isn't. If he does not control this series from the get-go, something's wrong. You couldn't ask for a better matchup than they got than against the Atlanta Hawks. And here's the other thing I want to know. Considering what happened in the first round, but what has happened since, as a Knicks fan, are you feeling a whole lot better? Are you feeling really all of a sudden consoled by the fact that the Hawks went through and beat the Sixers and are now in the conference finals? I probably would be, because we all underestimated them, didn't we? I mean, I sat here when I was filling in on DCR not too long ago saying it would be really disappointing if they lost in the first round and were manhandled by the Hawks, and they basically were, and it was really disappointing. But I have to say, when you look at it now, it's not nearly as bad as it felt then. Oh, hey, the Hawks, they've actually got some ability here, and they are have a young star player that is becoming a superstar right in front of us. And they have support players who are more than doing their job. So I would think from a Knick perspective, you at least have to feel somewhat better about your first round loss to Atlanta right now. I don't know how you couldn't. All right, big night tonight. Big night tonight. Islanders, game six. Must have, as we know. Of course it is. You have to find your way back down to Tampa. Great job, Michael Aleshmagoon. Brian Mungia, see you tomorrow with Bart. Tomorrow, 12 noon, right here, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.